Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to read in the Gospel of Luke tonight, in chapter 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And we'll read at verse number 22. Luke chapter 8. And verse number 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him, and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose, and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Just a few pages over to chapter 15 of the same gospel, Luke chapter 15, and we'll read verse number 1. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. Now we'll go on to the book of Galatians chapter 2. That's on in your New Testament, Galatians chapter 2. And we'll just read at verse number 20. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, who was formerly named Saul. His life was changed through the gospel message. And this is what he says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Just back to the book of the Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, back in your Bible. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 38. Acts 13:38, Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now just one last reading in the book of 2 Timothy and chapter 1. We read this portion on Friday night. I'd like to read it again. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. These are the last written words of the Apostle Paul when he said, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now God will bless what we have read. Those of you who are here on Friday night will recall that we just opened up with the topic or with the truth that there are some things in life, in this life, that are worthy of our attention, worthy of our acceptance. And you'll recall that we made mention of the fact that there are a lot of things in this life that just, when the bottom line comes, they just aren't worth our time, our money, our energy, our attention. A lot of things that disappoint us. And I'm sure as I look into this audience, and there's quite a variation in age, I'm sure that some of the older ones can look back to things in your life, and you look back with regrets. And if you could do it over again, you would do it differently, wouldn't you? There are some things that seem to be so promising. Some things, some realities that seem to be so assured. And yet, when you finally realize them, not only was the joy not there, but the confidence was lacking, and sad to say, many times, they crumble in our grasp. That's life, isn't it? In fact, the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes, he had to finally say, after he had tried almost everything there is to try, he says, all is vanity. And that's why this world has so little hope. It's a tragic world, you know. But there are some things, some truths, some realities that are absolutely worthy of our acceptance. I'd like to speak tonight of a Savior that is really worth knowing. Perhaps some of you don't know this man. Perhaps to some of you he's only a historical figure. Perhaps to you, you really don't care. Perhaps to you, you've closed this book long ago, and maybe you're just here because, well, somebody asked you. But I trust that you'll understand that this Savior that we have read of, and that we'd like to tell you about tonight, is really worth knowing. If anybody here has been in Rio de Janeiro, you'll understand that what I'm saying is, it will let me bear witness of the fact that on the hills surrounding that city, there has been a very, very large statue erected. It's a statue of the person of Christ. It's a mammoth piece of work. It's 90 feet tall. In that statue, there's 320 tons of Brazilian tile. Its head is 9 feet tall. Its arm span is 63 feet across. And they placed that figure up on the top of that hill and called it Christ the Redeemer. And of course, it's a monument that you can't miss. Stands there, arms outstretched, head looking straight ahead, overlooking the city and the bay and the ocean. But there's something wrong with that statue. There's something wrong with that Christ. Number one, his eyes are blind because they're stone. And number two, his heart can't feel because it too is stone. And yet, sad to say, in this world, there are an awful lot of people that somehow believe in just that kind of a Christ. Somebody who's blind, somebody who can't hear, somebody who can't feel, somebody who's just kind of a religious, historical figure that somehow has passed off the scene and has no bearing on history or this world or my life tonight. That's the way I lived for almost 22 years. I sang about him. I talked about him. I went to church and listened about him. But friend, he didn't mean that much to me. Until God began to speak to me. You know, when God begins to speak to an individual, truth that we usually don't listen to suddenly comes into focus. One of the things, friend, that we must understand in this life is that when all is said and done, when we have walked across our little portion of the stage and we're going down the other side and we say goodbye to it all, the only thing that really matters is whether we have come to know the Christ of heaven, the Christ of Calvary, the Christ of eternity,
in a personal way.
Because you see, friend, when the dust settles, we'll say goodbye to everything that we know in this life. Everything. Loved ones remain behind. Positions are filled by somebody else. Desks that we clean out, somebody else moves in. Paychecks, securities, deposits, bank accounts, they're all put into somebody else's hands. Houses, mansions, they ultimately go up for sale. And every single one of us steps from time into eternity, either with a Savior or with our sins. Now, friend, I would like to speak very plainly tonight, because that really is the issue, isn't it? And that's exactly why the Savior was sent. That's why He came. The Bible says there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. And right into this world has come a man, the mighty God, the Savior, the Creator, the upholder of all things, and He has come into this world that He might bring God and man together. When that happens, friend, that is salvation. Individuals on this road going away from God, going to a hopeless eternity, are brought to understand that there's a door that's open. Or let me put it another way. They understand that there is a Savior with outstretched arms, because that's the picture of the door. And they understand that His interest is in them personally for their salvation. That's why what we have read, and I'm not going to have time to go over all of this, but I'd just like to whet your appetite to get to know this person. His friend, we have read of the wonder of His power. There's never anyone like Him, and there never will be. We have read of the wonder of His grace. Such grace has never before been seen. We have read of the wonder of His love. And for that we go to Calvary. We have read of the wonder of His forgiveness. And I want to say, if you were to come into the blessing of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, I want to say you'd walk out a happy person. And friend, you'd have the joy of heaven in this life and in the next. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad that my sins have been forgiven. I'm so glad that He paid the price for them. And I've just been brought into the blessing of it. And you know, for 23 years, I have known personally, with confidence, that all is well for eternity. Look, you can't buy that in any store in Vancouver. You can't earn that blessing in any cathedral or church or synagogue here in this city. You can't earn that reality at any of the universities in this city or in this province. It comes as a gift. And tonight, that gift is found in a person, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice His power tonight? The disciples were going across the lake with the Lord Jesus. And as is often the case, there was a storm that came up. The Sea of Galilee is known for a quick tempest. The wind sweeps down from the hills, and apparently it's almost like a funnel, and all of a sudden that little lake is stirred up and churned up. And it's a sailor's nightmare. That's what happened that night. And those veteran sailors, those fishermen, they knew the water. They knew how to row. They knew their boat. But they understood that this storm was different. And they finally came to the Lord Jesus and they said, "Master, Master, we're perishing." And they watched
wondering what he was going to do.
They watched as the Lord Jesus got up, went to the side of that boat, and said, "Peace. Peace now." And all of a sudden, the wind stopped, and the sea went flat gone. Now, where I live in Newfoundland, we have lots of wind. We have lots of waves. We have lots of storms. You know, as those winds howl across the Atlantic, it whips up some pretty good breakers. But you know, there have been times when the storm has passed and the wind is flat calm, but the breakers keep roaring upon the shoreline. But you see, when Jesus spoke, "Peace, be still," everything responded to his voice. These men, they became afraid. They came to understand they were standing in the presence of not just a man, but they were standing in the presence of God himself. And they said, "What man, what kind of a man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And tonight, friends, that is the Christ of Calvary. That's the wonder of his power. That's the wonder of his authority. But not only, friend, do the elements respond to his authority. There was a day, you'll recall, in John chapter 11, where he drew alongside of a cemetery grave, a cave. In that cave, there had been a man dead for 4 days. Weeping sisters stood there. Sorrowing friends gathered around. And then they watched as Jesus has rolled away the stone. One of those sisters stepped in and said, "Master, Master, it's gone beyond hope." He said, "Roll away the stone." And as they rolled that heavy stone back up its little crevice, put the wedge underneath, they watched as this same Jesus went to the entrance of that cave and he says, "Lazarus, come forth!" The man who'd been dead 4 days responded to that call. We watch, and there's another scene that happens. Jesus is in a house, and the house is crowded, is filled, almost like this place on Friday night. No place to even find a chair to sit in. And all of a sudden, as he's teaching in that house, the plaster starts to crack. I don't know if it was plaster, but anyway, the roof started to come apart. And then there was a little hole, and then there was a bigger hole, and then there was a mammoth hole. And then as people watched, all of a sudden there came a... Well, it was just a stretcher, homemade stretcher. And down that stretcher came, right in front of the Lord Jesus. And as they watched, the Lord Jesus looked at that man, and he said, "Son, I believe you are me." Started to talk because they said, "Who can forgive sins but God only? Can't do it." And he says, "Just so that you understand that the Son of Man has authority and power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, young man, arise, take up the bed and walk." And the man who had come down through the roof suddenly stood up, rolled up that little stretcher, and he walked out. Tonight, friend, we're not just preaching an historical figure. We're not just preaching a miracle worker that's no longer alive. We are preaching about the living Christ who has all authority and all power in his hands. And friend, tonight, I hope you understand that ultimately, one of these days, every single individual will respond to his authority. Christians tonight respond gladly because he is Lord. But sinners one of these days will respond because because God has made him a judge of the entire world. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ, Lord. Oh, the marvel, the wonder of his authority, of his power. But I appreciate Luke 15 because we have understood the wonder of his grace. You know, crowds follow the Lord Jesus. And in those crowds, for the most part, were down and outers, publicans, despised people, sinners. And yet they flocked to him. Because you see, friend, they were met by open arms. They knew their needs. And they knew that this man received sinners, and he actually ate with them. I want to say, in this world of ours, there's not many places that receive the down and outers. People like to associate with the high and mighty. We all like that, don't we? But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he came with grace. He came with outstretched arms. The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save those that couldn't save themselves. He came to save those that couldn't even commend themselves. And tonight, if you fit that description, if you understand I'm ungodly, then the good news is that this person of the Lord Jesus has come to receive you. That's the marvel of it. That's the wonder of it. The Lord Jesus, one day he actually went out of his way to sit down in a well to meet one immoral woman. Was it worthwhile? Oh, I want to say it was. And in Mark chapter 5, the Lord Jesus went through a tremendous storm to meet one demon-possessed man. Was it worth it? I want to say it was. In Luke chapter 19, the Lord Jesus stopped at one tree to meet one crooked man. His life was changed. Was it worth it? Oh, friend, it was. 23 and a half years ago, he stopped at a boarding house in London, Ontario, to meet one poor, ungodly sinner. You're looking at him tonight. Was it worth it? Oh, I'm glad he did. This man receives sinners. And he actually eats with them. He associates with them. He welcomes them. He forgives them. Oh, the wonder of his love. You know, I'm a father of three boys, unhappily married, and thankful for the blessings that God has bestowed to me. You know, as a father, I can understand a father's love. Not too much I wouldn't do for my boys. You know why? Because they belong to me. They're mine. But you know, when you come to Calvary, I can't understand the depths of the love of the Lord Jesus. Because you see, friend, as they nail those spikes through his hands and his feet, you know what he was saying? He was saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As they pummeled that crown of thorns into his brow, you know what he was saying? He was saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As they stood there and jeered at him, he saved others. Himself he can't save. You know what he was saying? He was saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And there at the cross of Calvary, the Son of God willingly stepped into my place and identified himself with my sin. And he suffered for it. The just one, for me the unjust one, that he might bring me to God. Sometimes we sing, oh, the wonders of his love. See him coming from above to atone and die for me. Praise him cheerfully. You see, friend, it wasn't that we were looking for him. It wasn't that we were moving toward him. But he came all the way to heaven, from heaven, to move toward us. And to pick us up. And to pay the price. And to welcome us home. Because of his eternal love. Tell me, what have you done with that love? A love that willingly died at Calvary. A love that was willing to despise the shame because the joy that was set before him in accomplishing the great work. A love, friend, that has resulted in a wonderful salvation. Oh, the wonders of that love. But I think of the wonders of his forgiveness. Because Acts 13 tells us that through this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Tell me, are your sins forgiven tonight? Ah, you say, sir, can anybody know that? Or you might say, well, sir, I try to live a good life, and I sure hope so. Like one woman that I spoke to for the last time, I said, Loretta, she was 37 years of age, dying of cancer. I said, Loretta, what about your sins? She said, I hope they're diminishing. Not good enough. So when it comes to the final line, friend, it's not a matter of just hoping. You've got to know. And that's why this wonderful message tells you that through this man, through Christ, is declared to you the forgiveness of sins. That's the message of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again. And he has power and authority in this life. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again. And he has power and authority in this life to forgive your sins because of the price of blood of Calvary. What happens with that kind of a person that receives Christ? Their life is changed. I'll just close with this. A few years ago, we were having tent meetings. A man from Labrador, the northern part of Newfoundland, came to those tent meetings. I wasn't aware that this was a final trip for him. He had heard the gospel years before, and Uncle John Layden had trusted the Savior, and his sins had been forgiven. Whole life was changed. He was a happy man, but now he was dying, and he knew it. He'd come to the island to say goodbye to his loved ones, and he went back up. And we heard later, just a matter of months, that he was in the hospital, and then we heard he was gone. But I heard about the final moments of Uncle John Layden's life. And you know, as that man lay on that hospital bed, and he was coming to the end now, he was unable to speak because of the disease of cancer, but he took his wife's hand. He began to make some letters. This is what he said. He says, I'm glad I'm saved. And then he says, good night. And then he wrote, eternity. And that was it. You see, friend, when you've got your sins forgiven, and when you know this Savior personally, you can face the future without fear. You can face it with confidence. You can face it with peace. All because through this man, through Christ alone, is preached to you tonight here in Fairview, the forgiveness of your sins.